Okay, well, we finished up our series while we're still around here. And eventually we'll get back to Galatians, maybe today before I'm done. But I want to say a couple words. And more and more I say, you know, what I'm saying here is kind of disjointed and spread out. And it's always that way, isn't it? So maybe I should just stop saying those things, because that's what's going to come anyway. And I'm not too worried about it. We live in increasingly more difficult times. And we can look back on many figures in the Bible and learn some lessons and apply them to our lives. And I don't have a detailed sermon today, just a few thoughts that popped into my mind and some verses I threw down today. And in fact, we've looked at this individual in more detail in the past, and I'm sure we will again in the future. But as the things that are coming down the pike, and I spoke of my discussions with my friend Billy Hoffman in Michigan, it's time to start practicing resistance. It's time to start practicing. It's time to start determining to not defile ourselves. And we can look at Daniel. And you know, Daniel was carried off into captivity. That couldn't have been a good thing. And Daniel, even during those times, rendered service to the Babylonian Empire. But never once did he or his associates defile themselves. Never once did they compromise their principles. They stood strong and firm in the face of all sorts of opposition. And again, I'm not going to look at detail in these things, but we can go to Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. And we read there, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. The tense of the Hebrew verb there and it is an indication that this isn't something that happened on the spur of the moment. We could say that Daniel had purposed in his heart. Daniel had already made these decisions. He didn't wait until the bad stuff came upon him. He didn't wait until the empire's troops were coming down his driveway to say, well, let me decide what I'm going to do. Daniel had purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. He already knew. He didn't have to wait for the king to say, do this or do that. Daniel already knew where he would stand. He had already purposed in his heart. He had already made that decision. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. He had determined that he would stand aright. He would stand in accordance with God's word. He'd already determined those things. Now we'll look as we go on as well that, you know, Daniel went about it the best way he could. You know, he sought. He sought to be amendable without compromise. So he went to the eunuch who was in charge of him, and he made a request of him. He made a plea of him. He said, yes, that I might not defile myself. You know, maybe let's try something else. Let's see if we can come to another agreement. Daniel had already purposed in his heart that he wasn't going to defile himself. He wasn't going to regardless. But Daniel didn't do what probably Greg Wilson would do and took that plate that came from the king and threw it on the floor and said, I ain't eating this junk. Well, yeah, you know I probably would do that. I'd be in the jailhouse. But Daniel sought, you know, to be amendable, to get along. He understood his circumstances. He used discernment. He used discretion. And folks that misunderstand Romans 13 and the Lord's teachings, they don't really understand what's going on there. But the Lord's teaching us that we need to be discerning. We need to use this discretion and to understand that what's here is by His sovereign hand. We may not like it. We may not understand it. But we never have an excuse to defile ourselves. We never have an excuse to act contrary to God's word. And Paul makes abundantly clear, the scriptures make abundantly clear, this body of mine doesn't belong to me. It belongs to God. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. And when it came to taking things in that would defile and ceremonially defile in the case of the Jews, Ben said, I won't do that. This temple belongs to God. I'm not going to let them defile it by shooting something in my body that I don't know what it is, that and almost certainly will include cells of aborted babies, may include RNA that will alter my DNA, and probably is only going to harm more than help anything. I was reading another article today about the vaccines and the ones they promoted in the past, and they just made things worse. And I'm not getting into science and all today, but you know, the coronavirus is not new. Supposedly this is a new type of coronavirus, but coronavirus has been around for a long time, and they worked on vaccines for years and years and years, and they've never come up with a workable one, and the ones they did come up, in often cases, made things worse. And it's like, okay, you all come up with something in a couple months, so I'll let you shoot in my veins. And listen, it's not just Joe Biden that wants to do it. Donald Trump wants to do it. He's standing full square behind this. In fact, he's concerned that the FDA is dragging their feet and they're not getting his vaccine fast enough. He thinks if he gets a vaccine out there fast enough, shoots up enough people, then that'll help him get reelected. Again, my point. Daniel purposed in his heart. He had already made that decision. There's things coming down the pike. And I can look at the scripture. Even that young kid I talked to, 30-year-old or whatever, that I talked to yesterday, he was like, oh, I was raised Catholic, and they sent me to Catholic schools, and I got in trouble there, and I didn't understand stuff. He said, I believe the Bible. And he talked about it. I said, I've been reading things in Revelation. He said, Revelations. But he said, they always say that. He said, I've been reading things in Revelation and Genesis. I don't know. Of course, that's a good place, and there's a lot of lessons in there, but I don't know why he picked those two books. But anyway, and he was talking about those things and what was coming down the pipe. Well, here's a young fellow that really, you know, wasn't raised up in a true church or an environment, and yet he's starting to see some things. He's seen the scriptures. Listen, it doesn't take a genius to realize what's coming down the pike. I don't know all the details of eschatology, but I know there's one going to arise, the Antichrist, and he's going to seek to get folks to take the mark of the beast, and without that mark, you can't buy or sell, and, well, you can't hardly do that now without wearing a mask, can you? They're just getting us ready for that. You know, first it's a mask, and then it's a vaccine, and then it's an implant, and there may be implants within those vaccines that they don't even tell us about. You know, let every man, you know, make up his own mind, but I'm telling you, I ain't going to do it. As I shared with my friend Billy Hoffman, if they come at me and seek to vaccinate me against my will, that will be considered assault with a deadly weapon, and I will handle it thusly. As I was telling that kid yesterday, things are the mess they are. Didn't have any answers. That's, you know, the worst thing they can kill me and send me home. You know, that's the very worst thing they can do to a Christian. I said, but of course, I understand, you're 30. I didn't say that. I said, you're young and I'm 70. So, you know, I guess maybe that gives you a little bit different perspective over time. I don't know. But Daniel purposed in his heart. He made this decision before the crunch time came. So what I'm saying, we can see things are coming. You better decide now what you're going to do. You better decide now how you're going to stand and how you're going to respond. Because you probably won't be thinking right, you know, when they come down your driveway with bayonets. But I already know what I'm going to do, see? I'm preparing for those things. I'm preparing to have a greeting party for them. And if that's the Lord's will, I pray that happens, but regardless. Used to say, you know, well, whatever happens, I hope I take a few of them with me. But I won't be taking them with me. I won't be sending them someplace else. And just on a note that people say, well, yeah, but then you do that and you keep some, you may keep somebody from, you know, you kill somebody and they may not, you keep them from getting saved and they could, no, that isn't the way it works. The Lord knows those that are His.
Right.
And we're, I believe, called upon to stand aright and true. And Daniel was in difficult circumstance. He didn't have the means to resist that we might have. But he had already purposed in his heart. It didn't matter. It didn't matter. He was not going to defile himself. But he went to the prince of the eunuch, and we'll talk about that a little bit. And he said, look, let's give this a test. Right. Other instances I came to mind in my scatterbrain, and we've mentioned before Esther. Folks, these are difficult times, but we're here for a reason. We're here for a purpose. You and me, and you young folks too. You know, this. You know, I wouldn't want to be a young folk again. Diane, when I was relating to her about talking to this 30-year-old yesterday, she said, I'm glad I'm not a 30-something. Well, that's the human perspective. That's the human in us. But God has a purpose and a reason for us, each of us, in every place we are and every time we are. And you remember where Mordecai came to Esther and said, you need to do something. You know, the king, your husband, is going to kill the Jews. What are you going to do? Well, it was against the law for her to go talk to the king. Well, we shouldn't violate the law ever, should we? Yeah, Esther did. Rahab did. Peter did. Paul did. Oh, yeah. The Lord's disciples did when they obeyed his command to go out and get weapons because it was illegal for them to possess them. But anyway. Esther 4:16 responds to Mordecai. She says, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me. And neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king. Which is not according to the law. So I'm going to break the law. So I will go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. God's will be done. But she knew she needed to do this. And we need to understand these things and put them in perspective. And increasingly, you know, I feel the need to address these sort of things. If folks don't like it, stop listening. Because I have no choice. And so, Daniel sought You know what? No, I shouldn't say it. I'd like to be, I think we ought to maybe already be in the street, you know. I'd like to be getting a little trigger time right now. If I had an opportunity, some of them. Maybe I shouldn't talk like that, but I do. But Daniel said, let's see, you know. Maybe we don't have to go that route. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Verse 9 says, now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. I understand a lot of times people hate us for our morality and for who we are and what we believe. But I want to tell you something. A lot of times folks will appreciate you and respect you because you stand right and do right and you're honest.
That's right.
I've found that to be the case. I know I've had some folks hate me from afar. Most of them turned out were supposed to have been Christians, but I've had folks hate me from afar. But I've had folks that don't believe anything like I do and whatever, that respected me and that had affection for me, because they knew I stood for something and I would seek to do right and I was honest and forthright. And so it's not really a mystery that Daniel had favor and tender love of the prince of the eunuchs. You know, Daniel was a fellow that commended himself to those things. Think of one of the fellows I shoot with. I messed up once yesterday. Only time I've ever messed up when I was shooting. Anyway, I got DQ'd on stage. And the fellow that's running the stage, Pedro, and he's like, I don't like to DQ the ref. I don't like to call anything against the ref. He'd already did it one other time today when I think I had a miss but the spotters weren't sure, and he said no, he didn't miss. So anyway, well, the thing is, this fellow's a Yankee. I don't know exactly. I guess I don't know what he is. Some sort of Latino. He's probably Puerto Rican because he was from New York. He was there. He saw the towers come down. He was in the street and watched them. And then he retired. He said, I can't do this. I guess that's when he came to Florida. But he's a very nice guy, and we get along. Well, totally different backgrounds. And so it was with Daniel. You know, it pays to be a decent person. And folks will try to make allowance for you. And will try to work with you. And that's the case here with Daniel. Daniel brought Daniel in favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. So Daniel says, Daniel already determined he's not going to defile himself, but he tells the eunuch, he says, look here, maybe we can work something out so I won't have to defile myself. Paul says in Romans 12:18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Some folks you can't live peaceably with, right? And I don't mean this isn't of everybody north of the Mason-Dixon line, but those folks that are properly called Yankees, that's the kind of folks they are.
Mm-hmm.
These political Puritans, that everybody's got to think like I do. They have to behave like I do. They have to act like I do, and I'm going to make them do it. Well, you can't live peaceably with people like that. You can try, and they'll invade you and try to make you exactly like they are. And that's what the War of Southern Independence was about. I don't know how I'm getting on all these things today, but follow me. I don't know where I'm going, but follow me. As much as possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. You know, I don't give spit for any of the politics. And that includes the so-called libertarian party is about the most confused mess there is. But when it comes to a political term, you know, I'm a libertarian. I think people should be left alone. That is the root right that God gives us, to be left alone. That's what President Davis said, right? When he said, all we ask is to be left alone. We want to live peaceably, but some folks won't let you. But if they will, Paul says, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. And so it behooves us to understand the circumstances and where other folks are coming from and try to work with them, not to compromise, not to defile ourselves. And I don't know how this is all going to come down. And, you know, when they're coming down the driveway with bayonets and whatever, there won't be any compromise. There won't be any more talking then. We need to understand the position that others are in. Daniel had a relationship with this eunuch who was a sub-ruler. The kings liked to have eunuchs because they were kind of safe, you know. But they would give them positions of prominence and leadership and authority. And verse 10, and the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who have appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse, liking the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. The eunuch says, look, Daniel, I like you and all, but I like my head too. See, that's the way most of the authorities are going to deal. You know, they're going to look after themselves. They know who signs their check. They know who's going to give them their pension. And you call them military, the police, or whatever. That's what they, you know. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants. So Daniel tries to go to Melzar, right? He's another subaltern. Just prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. You know what, I'm willing to do that. You let all these people get the vaccine and see what they look like in 3 months. And I won't take it. Let's see who's better off. I'm still not going to defile myself, but, you know, that's a pretty good test, right? Mm-hmm. They're going to kill people. They've done this before. It's not anything new. Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them eat. Let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. We can trust God. We purpose not to defile ourselves. And we can seek to get along as much as we can and to help other folks who are in maybe precarious circumstances. Verse 15. You can trust God. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. You know, what do these idiots say today? You know, I says, well, I believe science. You know, science is a false god. It's the scriptures talk about science falsely called so. And he tries, well, science, it's science. And so you got to take this vaccine because of science. You got to wear this mask because of science. You got to, my old boss, we were discussing some of these things. She said, come by and visit us. I said, I ain't coming to Gainesville. And I'm sure not wearing a mask. And she said, well, I believe the science. What is the science? It's like those liberal preachers, those preachers that sit up here and says, well, the Greek says this. What Greek are you talking about? You talking about the Textus Receptus Greek of the new, of the King James? Are you talking about the Greek, the Pope's Greek that came out of the Pope's library? They're not the same. Don't be telling me the science says this. But you couldn't argue with the circumstances here. Daniel and the others, the other three were better off, better health, better, stronger, healthier. God will prevail. God will prevail. We can trust God one way or the other. Like I said, they may just send us home. We could get in. I don't have time to get into the three Hebrew children, you know, but as they stood and they wouldn't bow before the statue. People bowing today, aren't there? You're supposed to, and if you don't bow, you get in trouble, right? Isn't that how it works? I think I've seen some things about that. They didn't bow. They got protected. And they told the king, they said, look here, king. You can throw us in that fire. And you know what? The truth is, we may burn to ashes. But if our God determines he wants to, he can spare us. We may burn to ashes, or he can spare us. They said, but I want you to understand one thing, king. You won't have any power over us anymore once you put us in that fire.
That's right.
Whether we burn up and go home, or whether the Lord preserves us through it, whatever power you have over us is gone as soon as you throw us in that fire. One way or the other, God will prevail. I can't say the way it's going to be. It may not, humanly speaking, be what we would prefer or what would seem to be the pleasant thing, but it's God's thing. And I'll just close with Hebrews 11, which, you know, is a great, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but the great chapter of, people call it the chapter of faith, but it's the chapter of God's faithfulness. And I'll just pick up in verse 33, and it speaks again of these that God used and magnified. And Hebrews 11, verse 33. Through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness. And of course, he's already spoken of many individuals. Through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Wow! But, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. I don't know all that the Lord has in store. I can't tell you if we'll be in that first part of this paragraph or the last part. But I know this, God's faithful. God will bring his people through, and God will sustain them. God will keep them. God will be with them the entire time. And so, things are just happening so fast. I just couldn't believe it. You know, a year ago, would you have thought the things going on now would be going on? You would have said, that's impossible. And if we are still here in another year, I can't imagine. But God's sovereign. God's in control.
Amen. Yeah.
And one way or the other, God will prevail. And his chosen people will prevail. And so, I guess I'm saying you need to maybe think on these things. I can't give you all the details, but Daniel purposed in his heart. He already knew he wouldn't defile himself. And he tried to act with discernment and discretion. And it worked out pretty good for Daniel this time, you know. Later on, he gets thrown in the lion's den. And the Hebrew children that are with him here get thrown in a fiery furnace. And as Paul tells us in Hebrews, that some are sawn asunder, tempted, slain with the sword, and on. God's faithful. God will keep his people and bring him to himself. Okay, I didn't intend to take the whole time and that much more with this, but I did. And then maybe next week we'll get back into Galatians. Maybe we won't. I can't promise those sort of things. But we'll stand and sing a closing hymn together. How appropriate, number 150. He leadeth me. Number 150. He leadeth me. If you like, you can stand as we sing this out this morning. Number 150.
Father, I would be for my sin.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for each one that's here, for the safe traveling mercies you gave to each. Lord, we pray for the Gregories as they undertake homeschool. Brother Howell, as he goes about his duties during the week. Father, we look at the confused state of the world about us, and we know not what the morrow may bring, but we know it comes from your gracious, loving hand. Lord, we thank you for the assurance that you lead us, whether it be through still waters or troubled seas. You're leading us, that we can rest and trust in thee. Father, I pray that by your grace, we might purpose in our hearts not to defile ourselves. Lord, to be that people that you would have us to be, to realize whose we are, and to act accordingly. Lord, give us courage. Give us discernment. Give us discretion. Father, we're nothing of our own, on our own. So, Father, we need your grace. We need your grace every day. We thank you for your grace that was bestowed upon us because of the completed atonement of our Savior. And it's in his precious name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.